Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of A Sound Heart. We want to begin this night's study with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to study your word. We ask to be guided by your Spirit, the author of the scriptures, so that we might receive the things that you have from us, have for us from your word. We do thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Tonight's study will be from 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and also from 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. I want to begin in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 because in verse 3 we have a very important revelation that is obscured by the English translations. It is very important. And so I want to point it out to you at this time. So I'm going to be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, which reads, quote, and this is, of course, Paul. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. Let me say, first of all, that the word judgment, as we use it, is from a Greek word, and the Greek word is crisis, K-R-I-S-I-S, crisis. And, of course, depending upon the context in which it is used in the New Testament, there are different suffixes attached to the word. But the word is crisis. And so Paul is speaking to the church at Corinth, and he says that he is telling them that it is not paramount in his mind or in his spiritual life that he should be judged by them. And then he writes, and then Paul states, or of man's judgment. Now, in the Greek New Testament, the words man's judgment are actually day of man, the day of man. So while we are living within the church age, Paul also says that this is the day of man. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5, Paul talks about the day of Christ. And so I'm going to read verse 5 of 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Quote, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the day of man will be followed by the day of Christ, or the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I want there to be great clarity with regard to the person of Jesus. And for us, this is joyous or joyful eschatology because so many brothers and sisters are having a very tough time throughout this world because of their faith. And let me say to you that if you have time, or if you don't have the time, make it worth your while. Go out and get a copy of Fox's Book of Martyrs. Get the unabridged version. Fox's Book of Marx. And also because this book deals with the persecution of believers for their faith. And also pick up another book called Jesus Freaks. Jesus Freaks. You may find both on Amazon. One of my books is also available on Amazon.com. And my book is called Naming the Incubus. And it is about childhood sexual abuse and or the impact of childhood sexual abuse on marriage. And it is written for husbands to help them to understand what this is about and the importance of being spirit-filled and growing in spiritual maturity. I'll talk about my book on another show in the future. But I want to tonight to talk about the second coming of Christ and the fact that he himself will destroy the satanic world system that I have chosen to call the Commonwealth of the Absurd, because it is a kingdom built on hubris. It is built on pride. It is a kingdom built on lies. Believers or believing ones have been called out of the cosmos, from which we get our word cosmetics, because we have been called out of this age, ion, and we are members one of another. Then that called and the called out ones are called the body of Christ. The enemies, the three enemies of the believer, are the world, that is the cosmos, the flesh, or the sarks, and the devil, the one who divides people for no reason. Understand that name. He is the one who divides people for no reason, the devil. His name literally means to throw through, or Satan, which means opposer. In the Old Testament, he's called Ho Satan, the Satan. It is more of a title than a personal pronoun. Later, of course, Satan becomes a personal pronoun, which is very interesting. So we go to 2 Thessalonians, and let me give you the context. These believing ones are being sorely persecuted for their faith. So in 2 Corinthians, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, Paul writes, "Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you are enduring." God knows. And Peter talks about our faith as being tested by fire. Verse 5, "All this is evidence that God's judgment is right. And as a result, you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering. God is just." And we read this also in 1 John 1, 9. God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 6, "God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you." There's a reciprocity. There's reciprocal nature to evil, doing evil to others, that will be repaid by God. Please keep that in mind. God, he will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled as well as to us. This will happen when the Lord is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, in the New Testament, the gospel, the good news, is a message of demand. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It is a message of demand. God, God cannot lie. And God gave his Son to redeem the world. This is the message of the New Testament. It is a message of demand. The gospel demands belief. The gospel demands assent. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou will be saved. It is a demand stated in the imperative. Verse 9. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power on the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people, speaking of his church, and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. This includes you because you have believed our testimony to you. I love this passage. I love these words. I love the hope. And I pray that my brothers and sisters who are being persecuted for their faith will find great comfort in these words. And I want to invite you to pray for your brothers and your sisters around the world. Pray fervently. Pray earnestly for them. They need your prayers because of what they are currently suffering. Let us be fervent in prayer for them. And I want these words of the scripture. I want the word of God to encourage you. I want the word of God to be a source of comfort, a source of hope. I want the word of God to encourage you in your prayer, not to discourage you. I don't want you to be among the frozen chosen. I want you to decide that you will be on fire for the Lord. Be on fire for him. Be on fire in your faith. And share your faith. You see what is going on in this world. You know what is right. You know what is going on among people and how people are struggling to find meaning. People can't find meaning in life anymore. It's as if meaning has been erased on purpose so that people will have nothing and they would just be immerse themselves in mind-numbing, unimportant. But the Word of God gives hope. The Word of God gives meaning. The Word of God supports us and builds us up. I'm going to have to complete this study in our next show. But tonight, pray for your brother and who are throughout the world who know Jesus just as you know Jesus. Good evening. My name is Dr. Josiah Richard. God bless you.